Free the internet, guys.
Presented by Carter, Volkswagen, and Ballard.
Take the bull by the hands.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
And Brooke Huard. And Brooke Huard.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Saul.
I heard something yesterday, Brock, that I think we need to spend some time on because I think it would be a massive and important change for the Mariners. We'll do that coming up in 30 minutes. Of course, we got a good ranked today as well at 9:45. We'll talk some Kraken a little bit this hour as well as they get their big playoff win last night. But you know what time it is.
Well, and I heard that song. I sent it to you, in fact. That song right there by Airborne. Been played for how many years on
the
show?
True. Yes, many. I mean, the entirety of the show.
14
running,
years?
Running Wild by Airborne.
No idea it had words. No idea that it had words.
Yeah.
Because all I've ever heard is that.
Right. Yeah?
And so at the USFL, at the end of the game, Saturday night, all of a sudden I'm like, whoa, hold on a second.
Brock I know
the Salk show starting? where am I supposed to be? I didn't know I was doing the Brock and Salk show.
Yeah.
That song came on and it kept running.
You got me running.
Yes.
Running free.
Yes. Yeah. It kept running. I was like, oh my gosh, another epiphany. This song has words.
Yeah, they sound like AC/DC, right?
They do.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, we went to go see them. You didn't come, but Paisley and Wassel, a few of us all went to go see them at the Tractor.
I was at that show.
Oh, yeah, Justin was there.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
Years ago.
It was awesome. They were so fun. So they're just basically like, they're not quite an AC/DC cover band, but they're very much like an AC/DC ripoff band. They're from Australia. Like, it's the whole thing.
At 9:30, can we play more of the song?
Sure. The dude legitimately did a guitar solo where he went out into the crowd, jumped up onto the bar, was playing a guitar solo on the bar, chugged a beer, jumped off. Like, it was every rock trope you could have, and they were phenomenally fun and entertaining. I would love to see them again. But right now, Brock, we need one of your biased profiles.
The Seattle Seahawks select.
This is Brock Huard's draft profile.
Ooh, as I look at my list here, Salk, the Seattle Seahawks select Peter Skoronski. That's the pick. But as I look at my guys, Deuce Vaughn, Siaki Ika, Nick Herbig, Tuli Tuipulotu, Julius Brents, D Winners, Nolan Smith, Felix Anudike Uzama, Zach Charbonnet, Keon White, DeJuan Jones, Joe Tippmann, and now Peter Skoronski. I guess he is the third O-lineman. So out of 20, as I'm looking at the next six or seven as well, so he'll be my third O-lineman. Tippmann was the center. DeJuan Jones is the massive offensive tackle. Peter Skoronski is the most talented and most highly thought of offensive lineman in this draft. Mm-hmm. There isn't a mock you can go by. I don't know where Mel and Todd had him yesterday, probably somewhere in the top 10, because he's in just about every mock draft's top 10. He is a big offensive tackle out of Northwestern. Northwestern was horrible. So he was 10 on Mel and Todd yesterday?
He was 9 on Mel and Todd.
Yeah.
So he's this just, is your second Northwestern player?
No, I did not. I did a Blue 88
on the
other guy.
Sorry.
Yeah, at a Eddie Tomiwa. Nope. This is my first and only. They were horrible. Back-to-back years, Pat Fitzgerald. Usually a proud program. Usually has a good year, bad year. Good year, bad year. He's been to a Big Ten title game a couple times in the last 6 years. But the last two have been abysmal. The only good thing on that team has been The Rock. I better not call him The Rock because that's La Pietra. The only good thing has been Skoronski, the left tackle, who came in 2020 as a true freshman right away, started 9 games in that COVID year. And then he came in back-to-back years, and he was first team all Big Ten. So he is their only stud. He is their only star. The reason in where he may fit here in Seattle, I think it is a slight possibility, a very slight possibility, because it certainly is not a position of the biggest needs. But he's 6'4", he's 313, 32 and a quarter inch arms. And this is where the challenge lies. Because if he had 34 and a quarter inch arms, Salk, he might be in the top 5. Maybe he may be top 3. Because he'd be a left tackle. And everybody would say, anchor, put him there, left tackle for the next 10 years. Absolute pro, absolute stud, absolute rock. Super explosive guy. 6'4", 313. He jumped nearly 35 inches on his vertical. So unbelievable when Booger talks about that hip power and extension and twitch and all of that. Ran a 5'1 at that size, but he is an explosive dude. And oh, by the way, repped 225 30 times. So massively strong. 30 reps at 225 is like a, I don't know, 490-pound bench press. You know, I mean, he is a powerful, does not get bull rushed, does not get beaten, does not get knocked off his feet. But with the short arms, everybody's saying, move him in. Quentin Nelson, move him in. You know, now is he Quentin Nelson? I'm not there. And that's why I can't tell you at number five. I would take him at number five. This is a trade down. And if you don't love Mike, and if there aren't great options, and as you're trying to put this puzzle together, and you're just like, I can't do it with Jalen, and Will Anderson is gone, and I'm not taking Anthony Richardson, and you want to shore up your offensive line. I mean, you want to have a Steve Hutchinson, Walter Jones. I'm not going to crown Charles Cross and Peter Skoronski that. But when you talk about clay to mold, and guys that are, if they're not A's, they're A-minuses. If they're not 100s, they're 95s. And all of a sudden, you have those two on the left side and Abe Lucas on your right side, and you can do that for the next 3-4 years. Whew, you become a very, very physical team. And oh, by the way, you block people in this division that are the most important people to block. So you have somebody that is athletic, that is powerful, that one-on-one with Aaron Donald will still get beat, because every guard in this league will still get beat by Aaron Donald, but you have a chance, a real fighter's chance. And then everybody else not named Aaron Donald, you got more than a chance. You actually push them around. So he is the elite talent. He is the number one lineman on this board. He's a top 10 guy, probably not a tackle. You probably slide him into guard, and he would be somebody that could plug and play right away.
All right.
You hate it. No, you hate it.
I don't hate it.
No, you hate it.
I hate it at five.
You can't take him at five.
I hate it at five.
You can't take him at five.
No, I don't hate it in the trade back and all that. Like, if he's the best player, he's the best player. I mean, like, at some point, you said it perfectly there, Brock. I agree with you. If Will Anderson's gone and you can't do it with Carter, and, you know, and they know more than we do, and they're saying, yep, just can't get it done, and, you know, the Tyree Wilson's not a scheme fit, you got to do something, right? Yeah. And if that means that you've got to move back, then I guess you've got to move back. But it feels like a shame to me. It feels like, I don't want to say a waste. It's not a waste. But turning your number five pick into the number eight pick or the number nine pick, taking a...
Just emotionally, that's going to be really hard for
you. It's going to be hard. And like, Okay, cool, you're going to add a third or fourth rounder. And I hope that works out. But that's a lottery ticket. You and I both know that. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. And it just, I don't know, man. I'm not saying you're wrong. And maybe, like, sometimes you've got to do what the board tells you to do.
Yep.
But it just, it would feel like such a letdown, especially knowing you could have the number four pick if it wasn't for the idiots in Houston converting a fourth and 16.
You know what's amazing here is I just punched in. I hadn't done this beforehand, but I just punched in Steve Hutchinson's combine. So I was in Seattle when Steve Hutchinson got drafted. And Steve Hutchinson, I think that year the Seahawks had two first-round picks, and guard was not necessarily a need.
And at what number did they pick him?
Like, it's, I don't know, 17, 20,
right,
somewhere around there.
That makes sense there. I get it. And, Brock, I love your idea of, hey, at number 20, maybe you do take a tight end or somebody that you just think is great. And even though, you know, it's not a scheme fit or a position of need, you just do it because the player is great. I love that at 17, at 20. In the top 10? Yep. Come on.
But
the
let me just
10?
Can I just give you, this is amazing. Like, I am not, I can't even believe these numbers. And by the way, Steve Hutchinson does some work for the Seahawks and is around the program and is a great asset and a tremendous consultant and a wonderful brain and a brilliant guy. Much like Skoronski is all of those things. Skoronski 6'4", 313. Hutch was 6'5", 313. 32.25-inch arms, 32.5-inch arms. One ran 5'1", 6", one ran 5'1", 4". One jump 34.5, one jump 33.5. Mm. One rep 225 30 times, one rep at 31 times.
Wow.
They're almost absolute physical clones. And you're right. You know what? That was a boon. That was a home run. That was the greatest value pick. That's a Hall of Famer that was still on the board and you were able to get later in that first round. The problem is Skoronski's not going to fall that far in the first round.
I get it. So, like, I appreciate what you're saying, and maybe that's the thing to do. And if they trade back and then they get, like, all right, hey, you know, certainly improving your offensive line to that point would be tremendous. But it wouldn't feel right after kind of where we've been and what we've been talking about and the kind of elite talent that we've been talking about getting at the true positions of the greatest value in the NFL. That one would be a little bit hard to swallow.
need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Well, it was a heck of a start to the playoffs for the Kraken last night. Man, what a game. They just came out and played really good hockey right off the bat. Ellie Tolvanen got them on the board with a goal. They gave up one, and then it was Alex Wennberg doing damage.
Passes, that's moving in. Shot, score! A transition goal gives the Kraken the lead. Wennberg flying down the right wing. Schwartz delivered the pass, and Wennberg lights the lamp. And it's 2-1 Seattle.
Playoff games are funky like that. Wennberg is not really a goal scorer. He's much more of a setup guy and plays good defense. But he took the shot there, ripped it right by him, and set up what it turned out to be a 3-1 lead. Philip Grubauer, the story defensively.
Grubauer's one step ahead.
Hopper moves in.
Save Grubauer. The rebound on the doorstep. Grubauer denies Nichushkin. It's still loose. Side of the net. Kiki walls it off.
What a great story, Brock. You were all over yesterday how he got run out of town after, you know, a huge blow up in a playoff series. And he went back there and shoved yesterday.
He did. And you could see his teammates loving it, too. And I know they always support the goalies when they give up zero or one. Or did he stand on his head? Was he a wall? He was probably something right in between that. He was awesome. And you could feel his teammates after that game. You know what it meant to them and for him. To go back to that building, go back to that place where you get cut, man, you get fired. I'll never forget that letter that came that told me my deal was terminated with the Colts. And it's like, I knew it was coming, but still.
Terminated? Like, you have to use that kind of language?
Yeah, it was terminated.
Yeah.
Just ask Booger.
I'm sorry. Every time you say the word wall in relation to a goalie, we've talked about how there have been some great goalie nicknames over the years, right? Felix Potvin was Felix the Cat, and you know the German gentleman we were talking about earlier. But when Nikolai Habibulin was the Bulin Wall, that's like as good a goalie nickname as you're ever going to get. The Bulin Wall. Nikolai Habibulin. How about that? Dave Haxtell had a great game yesterday. Yanni Gord had a great game. I thought his whole line did a great job against the big McKinnon line for Colorado. And so just A-plus effort by them. And game two will be tomorrow night in Denver.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
I think Scott's getting a little bit frustrated, and I don't blame him. It's not effort. His team is trying hard. He made that very clear, but they're not executing in some really key spots.
You know, we've been really good at finding a way to move the runners along or getting the big hit in those games. And so far, early this year, we've struggled to do that. Ty got a big sack fly to tie the game there, but, just not enough. I can't fault our pitching. I thought our guys threw great out of the bullpen. Anytime you come in, that guy starts on second, you limit him one run, you've done okay. You know, you really have. We just got to do a little bit more offensively.
Yeah, it's also a dumb rule, though, man. Justin Topa comes into the game with a man on second and nobody out, gives up two ground ball outs, and that guy scores a run. Like, that's just not baseball. I'm sorry. It just doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But Mariners got to get that done in extra innings. And once again, this time it was Julio coming up with the bases loaded, and he grounded out on the second pitch. Like, you just can't give away that at bat.
Yeah, that bullpen went five innings and gave up one hit. They did everything for you. Unfortunately, Logan gave up a game-tying home run, just kind of a pitch up and out of the zone. I guess give them credit to put a barrel on it and hit it over the right field wall to tie that game up. And yeah, last year, really over the last couple years, really over Scott's regime, you felt like, okay, if we get to these late innings, it doesn't matter. Somebody's going to be a hero. Somebody's going to get it done. Somebody's going to make the play to finish. And right now, that has been the story in an 8-10 start.
Yeah, one of the guys who hit a home run yesterday was a player I wanted this offseason. Willy Adames was one of the names that I had pointed out that I thought might have been a good deal. They ended up trading for Wong instead. And, you know, kind of seeing how that's playing out right now.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
By the way, Marco Gonzalez tries to salvage one game in this series. An early start today as they play a day game. Dylan Moore started his rehab assignment, so hopefully he'll be able to get back sooner rather than later. ESPN, interesting mock draft that they did last night on TV, and I think it's out on the internet today. And this was a joint draft with both Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, kind of going back and forth making picks. I loved it. Jalen Carter at 5, Nolan Smith at 20, and then Hendon Hooker in the second round. Where do I sign up for that?
Well, it's a lot of talent. I mean, it's a lot of talent. But all three of those guys do lack a level of production for different reasons. An ACL, Hooker transferred a couple different schools, finally found a fit in the system in Josh Heupel's scheme, which, by the way, You want to talk about kind of some of these crazy comparisons. You know who else played in a Josh Heupel scheme and threw for 44 touchdowns his last year when he was a second-round pick? Drew Lock. So Drew played his best football in that system, set an SEC record at that point with 44 touchdown passes that year. Nolan Smith was a little bit banged up, tore his pec this year and kind of in and out and played more of a role in that elite front seven with Georgia. But that's two Bulldogs. That's a lot of, on paper, immense talent. Does the production always back that up? That will be the question. That will be the narrative. That will be the dialogue for the next 8 days.
You know, I finally felt like I knew what I wanted, and now you're making me question it again.
Sorry. It's everything you need to know.
Stop doing that. My God, man. I guess it is everything
you
need
to know. Well, you nailed it earlier. You can't have it all. Okay, your comment about neat and clean was perfect, and it's so true. And, in fact, Molly will come home because she knows me.
Is she neat or clean?
She can be both, yes. But she I don't know how to dust. I don't know. I'm colorblind. I don't see these things. I don't know.
You know how to dust. That's terrible excuse. Nobody doesn't know how to dust.
Okay, fine. Can I mean, function look, and dust?
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Does that ever
do
come?
Do you think to dust?
Absolutely not.
Right.
Deep clean? Absolutely not.
Same.
So, but
I'm also unwilling. It's not just that I don't think to. I'm pretty unwilling to do a deep clean.
Well,
I just don't want to do that.
I will mop the floors.
You will?
Oh, yeah. And I'm pretty darn good at that. Great length, strong hands,
elite, yeah.
10.5-inch hands. But even with that, you know, Molly will watch me do it, and she'll be thankful. And she's like, you know, you kind of got to empty the bucket, you know, in between. You see how filthy the water is now in the bucket? Like, I didn't even notice that. No, I don't, because I'm doing the neat thing, right? I'm just doing, like, the orderly thing.
Right.
I'm just checking the box and getting it done.
I'm not thinking. I know Stelton is very worried about, like, you know, the microbes or whatever. Like, I don't care.
Do you think he's neat and clean?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes. I know he's clean. By the way, when I saw Bob, I hadn't seen Bob in forever, but on opening day, I hung out with him for a while, and I got, like, the whole story of everything that goes into, like, his travel routine. Oh. It is a lot. Oh, there is a lot going on there with the packing and the repacking and the stuff he keeps in, like, in sealed bags so that it doesn't touch the outside world.
Right.
Like, there is a lot going on. And then you're right. So he won't use a washing machine somewhere else because he doesn't know the last time it's been cleaned.
Right.
I'll tell you what he better not do is come to my house and use the washing machine. I didn't even know you could clean a washing machine.
You clean a washing machine?
Isn't it self-cleaning? You're putting soap in it every day. What are you talking about?
You clean a washing machine?
That's what Bob said.
This is news to me.
What?
Have you ever cleaned your washing machine? That sounds like putting oil
text
in
toy.
Your car. Complete
text toy.
Waste of time.
Anybody out there on the text toy? You stop that. Day text toy, honestly. 866-979-3776.
Have you ever cleaned your washing machine?
Have you ever washed your washing machine?
Yes.
Cleaned your washing machine?
And I was like, Bob, how would I even do that? He's like, oh, it's got a setting, and you just... I was like, what?
What?
It has a setting to clean itself?
I mean, the oven does. You self-clean the oven, right?
I have not. I know it's got that thing on there, but I never used it. It smells bad, right? I mean, I never clean an oven. I've never cleaned my dishwasher. I've never cleaned my washing machine, my dryer. Like... occasionally I remember to change the vent in the filter and
the
air conditioning stuff.
Yeah, the filter in the
furnace. God, who the heck thinks about that stuff? It would never even dawn on me to think about something like that. You know why? I'm too busy thinking about something Jeff Passan said yesterday that I'd like to make into a reality. It's next. Brock and Salk, Sales Sports on 710. This hour brought to you by 3010 Weight Loss for Life.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
All right, ranked coming up here in 15 minutes. What did we get? About 1,000 texts here.
Oh, boy.
About the washing machine.
Yeah, I know it's big when I'm getting texts to my personal line.
Geez.
Like, dude, how did you not know this? My friend Hank texts me and he's a landlord. He's like, we clean our building's washing machines every week.
Well, if you're in a hotel or if you're in an apartment complex or you're like a group kind of laundromat, I guess, but your own personal home?
I guess
What's the consensus?
Like,
talk to me. What's the consensus?
Everybody seems to be very clear on that they all clean their washing machines.
Really?
Running empty with just bleach and hot water.
Well,
yeah, everyone.
We take care of, so we have a big fancy front loader, and I like make sure we clean the front seal out because it can get like kind of moldy and gunky. Like we're very careful about that. But like I'm thinking of the machine, like the inside of the machine, and I get it. Where does all that stuff go that's on your clothes? It goes out of a drain, right?
Right.
But I've never done anything.
Did you clean your drains?
No, never.
I mean, look, what else am I supposed to be cleaning?
I'm anyway. Doing it.
Like, I never think.
I'm telling you, I'm doing it.
You're going to clean your washing machine?
Show ends, and I'm not going to tell Molly either, because then she's going to be like, "Oh, I leave, and look at you. You think you're Mr. You know,
Mr. Mom?
Clean and Mr. Neat."
I love this text from the 253 though. Mrs. Salk is living in squalor.
You think so? I mean, if she's got a problem with it, she can clean it. Like, why would that be my job to clean that stuff? I mean, I don't care. It doesn't bother me. I would never have, I honestly and legitimately did not know that it was something that could be cleaned.
Yeah.
Until Bob told me that.
We're getting a lot of texts of where you can buy these cleaning tablets and everything.
Buy cleaning
tablets.
Filter
by a Fresh and Tide.
You're lucky
tablets.
I clean my clothes, for God's sake.
I got to go to Home Depot today, too. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I'll send you guys a picture. Hey,
Salk,
quick shout
your wife
out.
Must have the patience of a saint. Why? What are you talking about?
Well, just listen to you.
What do you mean? You have to clean every single mechanical appliance and tool you use in your home. Here's the thing. You know how many vacuum cleaners we have in our home? Like 8. Heather keeps buying freaking vacuum cleaners. I don't know what the deal is. Every day for every like birthday or Christmas, whatever, there's another stupid vacuum cleaner that shows up in our house. You know how many times I pick up the vacuum? Never. Doesn't even dawn on me.
You got the shark? You got the shark? The shark's
Brock,
pretty good
there's
one.
A shark. There's a hand vac. There's a robo thing. There are so, it is like barely enough room for me and Wendell because of the vacuum cleaners that exist all over my house.
Okay.
It never dawns on me that I should use one of them.
Before you get to what Passon said yesterday.
And I clean up the house all the time. I do all the dishes. I do a ton of the laundry. I keep everything neat. I move. I put stuff away. I fold clothing. But it would never dawn on me in a million years to vacuum anything unless something spilled. Does it dawn on you?
Yes. And I like straight vacuum lines. So, yes, like my lawnmower. I like my lines. So I like the lines. I do like the lines.
We have floors, though, not carpeting.
I'm kind of basic like that, kind of linear and basic.
We have hardwood floors. Like, what do you mean?
Okay, before you get to Passon, can I just give one shout-out to John Bradford, the Root Sports team, who, by the way, I don't know if I sent you the video last night, three generations of fake Graham incarnation at the Mariners game last night.
Oh,
and they
exciting.
Did an awesome job. So thank you for all the work that went on a busy night where they had two games going, right? The hockey and the baseball last night for Root. Busy night. Thank you to John and the entire team.
All right. So,
that reminds me, Brock, I forgot to do this. I mean, you're going to love this, and Maura will as well, because I know she's listening with Ranked on the way. It's
yeah,
favorite
Maura
segment.
Only
she's
listened to Ranked here. Yesterday. It's the only part of the show she heard.
At a recent Mariners game, Ruben in Bellevue and Diego in Aberdeen both came up to me and were like, hey, big fans of the show. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. And both, not big fans of Ranked.
Oh, well.
And I was like, what?
They should probably listen to something else.
Okay.
Send them packing.
I told them I would still say hello. So thank you, Ruben and Diego.
I would never have shouted out anybody with such poor taste. But okay. I mean, to each their own, if that's the direction you want to go, Justin.
Shout out Passon right now. I know you want to do that.
Well, I was hoping to. So Jeff Passon was on with us yesterday, and I've been waiting to ask him. Because one of my favorite parts about having the national guys on is more of that broad perspective of what else could possibly be out there. Mm-hmm. And okay, I am not as concerned about the Mariners' bats as some others are. I think that, you know, again, you're averaging more than 4.5 runs per game. I got some pitching concerns, et cetera, but I also grant that the bottom of this lineup is not perfect, nowhere close. It's not performing the way it needs to, and there were players in the offseason that I wanted the Mariners to go get and to add one more bat. And one of those names that we spent a lot of time talking about in this offseason that I still think is a very good fit here in Seattle came up yesterday when we asked Jeff Passon who might be out there that might be a good fit for the Mariners to trade for.
I mean, it certainly is a possibility now that Lars Nootbaar is back. They've got Jordan Walker's not going anywhere. So he's the guy who's sticking around. But in addition to Jordan Walker, they've got Tyler O'Neill, Alec Burleson, Lars Nootbaar, Dylan Carlson, and Juan Yepes. Like, they have five very capable, everyday big league outfielders. And it would have been one of those situations where I don't think you're going to trade one of the younger guys for Chris Flexen, but that would have been the type of deal that would have made sense before Chris Flexen got out to, what's his ERA?
We don't need to talk about that.
We don't need to get into that as over seven. But he said the magic words there, and Tyler O'Neill, who was a player that we spent a lot of time talking about in the offseason, hey, maybe he's a good fit here. And at the time, it was more of a platoon thing with Kelnick in left field. But maybe it's to do some of that and to also just DH and be another bat that could do some damage in this ballpark.
Yeah, and it is obviously early, and when he kind of posed that question to Passan, you could kind of feel his natural response, like, you're really asking me this 18, 19 games into a season already? Like, you don't even know who's buying, who's selling. Obviously, there are some dumpster fires. Like, you think you have it a little rough in Seattle, go look at Oakland and Kansas City and just some abysmal places. But do they even have necessarily assets you want or would be an upgrade? And then those teams, and a bunch of them, as we learned last year, Mike, around trade season, like, yeah, I'm not a seller. I mean, I'm still in this thing. With two wild cards, like, I'm still alive. I'm still in this thing. So this is where I would hope all of, and it's not even a hope. I know that Justin and Jerry have fostered so many relationships around the league that these deals, you and I see them, and we see him like the tip of the iceberg when it gets announced. Oh, look at this deal they've done. And so often when you talk to them, they're like, no, we've been talking about these guys for years, right? I mean, they've certainly got, I don't know, like athletic directors in college sports do, five or six names on a card, like ready to go and say, okay, we've already talked to these people. We've already formed some relationship. We have a sense and a feel, a little bit of what the market is. And now can we culminate a deal? Jerry said, what, 30 games though? We're 18 in, so we're 8-10. So I don't think you're gonna see
And it doesn't need to be this week, but in another couple of weeks, if this is continuing to go on, I thought that was a very good point that Jeff made, because you're right,
they have surplus,
they have some surplus there, and there aren't that many teams that are going to be selling. Right? A Carlos Santana type, where you got a productive hitter that somebody's willing to give away, like the Royals were last year, doesn't happen every year. And so, okay, where do you go find something like that? We talked about Tyler O'Neill a lot in the offseason as being a pretty good fit. He's not off to a bad start. It's not incredible, but it's not a bad start. He's hitting .278, on base of .328, slugging .426, so like a .750 OPS. Just being productive, right? He's got two home runs. The only thing you look at that isn't really a great Mariner fit is he only has four walks. He's not a walk guy. No. I mean, his career high in walks is 38. He strikes out a lot more than he walks. So he's not a huge control the zone guy, but he hits for power. He gets on base at least enough that you know, for what you need right now. And oh, by the way, didn't he kind of get into it with the manager there a little bit? Like, I think there's been a little bit of tension, probably because they've got five major league outfielders, and that's not a great long-term solution there in St. Louis.
Yep.
So, yeah,
He's a threat. And I think right now you're facing pitching and pitching staffs and bullpens that are going, okay, once I get through Kelenic, I can take a little, right? I can kind of pitch around, and Kelenic has walked a bunch. And, you know, these guys are just struggling so mightily that I am not going to lose a game to Suarez. I am not going to lose a game to Kelenic. I'm not going to put a cookie in there to France. I'd rather hit him or walk him. And if we can just get to 7 and 8. And now JP's moved the lineup along. He's done what he's done, but he's not a threat. Like, he's not a threat,
but he's done a good job. He's done exactly what you would want him to do in that spot. I am not including him in the problem category right
now. Agreed. It's been 7 and 8. It's been, unfortunately, Colton Wong, who's 5 for 51 with 5 singles.
It's been Cooper Hummel. It's been AJ Pollock. It's been Tom Murphy. I mean, whoever has been put into those spots has just done nothing. Lestelle at least got a hit yesterday, drove in a run. But really, for the most part, the production in those spots has just been abysmal. I'm right there with you. I don't think offense overall has been a huge problem. Again, 4.5 runs per game. You're going to win a lot more than you lose if you're scoring 4.5 runs per game and you have this pitching staff. But they've got to pitch up to their level. They've got to play complimentary, Brock, as you've said any number of times. And they've got to make better plays in the big moments because they haven't made them.
Okay, so here's yet again, and it's funny, I brought this up in spring training. I don't know, like on Thursday of spring training, I'm like, man, we've been here 4 days and we've hardly mentioned the name Julio Rodriguez. So we've played 18 games. This is the cover boy for Sports Illustrated and GQ. This is top 10 player in baseball. This is an absolute star power who got an amazing extension because of all of that. How would you evaluate and characterize his 18-game start?
How about you?
What did you say? I'm sorry. My headphones. I couldn't.
I was turning it back to you. How would you categorize it?
Justin, did I miss something right there? Did I hear? Were you working on ranked? What just happened?
I don't think you missed anything.
There was like 3 seconds. You don't want to answer the question.
No.
Look at you, Dodger. Look at you playing a little dodgeball. Let me just dodge this question. I'm asking you a question.
All right, ask it to me again.
Because I asked you about Jalen Carter, and you rightfully said, I haven't watched him play.
All right, ask me the question again.
How do you characterize Julio Rodriguez's 18-game start? Not that hard a question. Answer the question, jerk.
A little disappointing? But I don't care. I like to be annoying. A little disappointing. I don't want to go in on Julio because I think it's too early to say anything like that. And if you go back, you may remember, I was sort of saying at the beginning, I wouldn't mind if Julio had a slow start.
True.
I think it might be for the best. So the reason I'm hesitant to answer your question and the reason I kind of tried to turn it back on you is that I don't think he's been very good to start the year. I think he's been expanding the zone. I think he's had some lousy at-bats. I think he's been trying to do too much. Yes. I think he's been over-swinging. I think that a lot of what's been going on around him is probably affecting him expectation-wise, and he's going to need one of those moments to reset. But I'm wary of saying all that aloud because it sounds like a criticism when, in fact, I think it's very much to be expected. And it's also not something I would expect to continue for very long.
That's a great answer. Why didn't you give that to me the first time?
That's
a great answer.
I was feeling a little uncomfortable.
Trust yourself.
I was feeling a little uncomfortable. I thought... And by the way, it's not like he's been terrible.
No.
He's come up with a bunch of hits, and he's had some big hits, and he had a big triple that he needed.
30 home runs.
Right. I mean, so it's not like his numbers have been bad or he hasn't played well, but it's been a little underwhelming. It's not what we were hoping for from Julio. But as I said, I do kind of think that's a good thing to start the year. If that's the whole season, that'll be kind of a bummer. But I don't have a problem with him starting slow. Okay. It's still only April 19th.
Here's the only challenge I would have with that. I think that's a really good answer and would have parroted a lot of things that came to my mind. But I think here is one little challenge. When your star player and your best player, and I don't care what the sport is, hockey, baseball, football, basketball, like your star player sets the tone. Mm-hmm. And if your star player is chasing, right, and your star player is not controlling the zone, mm-hmm. which is what the whole culture is built on, right? If he is not doing that, then what does it do to the rest? You know, Julio's not controlling the zone.
Yesterday was a frustrating one. So catching me out, I mean, that at bat really kind of ticked me off yesterday. The guy was kind of a little all over the place. He had just walked JP. Yep. He'd thrown you a ball, and then you just swing. And I know that he's got to be aggressive in that spot. He has an opportunity to win the game, but sheesh. Yep. I mean, a walk is going to tie the game, and I'm not saying he's going to walk you. You never want to bet on a major league pitcher walking anybody, but I didn't love the at-bat yesterday, and I'm not going to sit here and criticize Julio for one at-bat. The guy's been tremendous, and I'm just a little uncomfortable in this space.
Yep.
But yeah, a little underwhelming to start, and maybe that's a good thing. Kind of like ranked.
Got a list? Time to put it in order.
Fred Dwarmfor's house. Top five meals that I have ever had.
This is Ranked.
To be honest, that list was really biased.
Brought to you by Carter Volkswagen. Every morning at 9:45 on Brock and Saul.
Yeah, top 10 list. I'm not buying that.
Ranked.
All right, it is time for Ranked. Every day, 9:45, we rank something. And Brock, you may not know, but today is, Justin?
National Hanging Out Day.
National Hanging Out Day.
It's a good one for it.
You going to hang out? You going to hang out at all today?
Hanging Out Day.
It's just National Hanging Out Day.
Okay.
Okay? All right. With that in mind, hangs ranked. Hangs ranked. Like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. It's one of the seven wonders of the world, isn't it?
It is.
Seven man-made wonders of the world.
Is it?
Yes. I think so. I'm pretty sure that's one of the man-made wonders of the world. Mm-hmm. You got hanging sliders, hanging curveballs, hanging changeup, hang them and bang them. You know what you got to do with those hanging sliders.
Just say it confidently. Kind of like Justin did not with Booger. When he answered the phone.
It was a little...
He
went quick, though. Sort of like the old Paisley.
Hanging Gardens of Babylon were one of the seven wonders of the ancient world.
There you go. The Mr. Zorensky.
We were looking for the ancient world.
The ancient world, yes. Seven wonders wonders of the ancient world. Isn't Keith Richards actually on that list also, I think, as we play Hang Five?
Bada-bing.
Hey-yo. There's one. Justin probably loves this song. That's Hanging by a Moment.
Creed?
By Lifehouse. Oh, it is very Creed-like.
It is very Creed-like.
That's like a mix of Creed and the Goo Goo Dolls put together.
See,
you get Lifehouse.
I think they're just closer to You're Better Than Ezra.
No. Guys. That is, Brock nailed it. That is Creed mixed with the Googs. Put them together.
Googs.
You've got Lifehouse.
As usual, I nail it.
Yeah, Brock nails music, Lifehouse. As he always does. Uh-huh. That's a little Aerosmith, Hangman Jury Brock from...
Does his voice come back? I know he had to cancel multiple concerts.
Not sure.
Do you know?
I don't know.
Don't know?
That was a bummer.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Hangman Jury from the Permanent Vacation record. Just hearing that, do you know what band that is, Brock?
One more time,
just
please?
Hearing the very beginning of that, I'm curious if you can tell what band this is.
Van Halen.
There you go. Oh, wow.
Was it really?
Yeah, that's Hang 'Em
High.
Was
that Sammy, though?
No, I think that's David
Lee Roth. Still David
Lee
Roth.
You couldn't hear anybody singing, but...
Right.
Yeah, that's David Lee Roth. That's
dude,
Eddie
I
Van Halen.
Two things.
Nice
what
job.
Else do you want from me?
I don't. Maybe we should play Hangman. You can watch Hangin' with Mr. Cooper. You go see Hang 'Em High. Clint Eastwood movie.
Oh. Huh.
I'm just going to get this out there right now. This is not in the top five. I hate this movie.
And we're the three best friends that anybody could have. We're the three best friends that anyone could have.
Hate that movie?
I hated The Hangover. Huh. I wanted to turn it off. In fact, I might have turned it off. I hated every second of that movie.
Wow.
I hated it. I'm sorry.
Not him.
I know everybody loves it. So I'm at least willing to shout it out. But I really don't like that movie.
Oh, wow.
Sorry. I said we had to hang with Mr. Cooper, right? We got the theme here.
Wow. It's a throwback for me, yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of 90s, how about Counting Crows? I've been hanging around. Brock, I know you're a big steak guy. You ever have...
Hang steak?
Hanger? Hanger steak? Never had hanger steak?
I have. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. Well, with Molly gone, maybe you're just going to let it all hang out. Let it all hang out.
Speaking of hanger steak and Brock being solo, what is your family's gone meal? What do you cook yourself?
Went to Costco yesterday, and I've got meals for every night.
Wow.
Yep. Last night was for Molly before she headed out. I made steaks, and they were phenomenal. Molly said, you've become now the grand grill master. Like, you're tremendous on the grill. Like, I just am. I've just kind of nailed the grill. But I've got baby back ribs. I'll do one rack in the crock pot. I'll do one slow cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I've got some lemon chicken thighs that were marinated.
I like that.
Yeah, we'll do that. Macy will like that with some sticky white rice. And now I've kind of got the meals figured out.
You get that set.
Burgers.
No Hangtown fry, though.
No, and you know what you'll do after midnight, Brock, is let it all hang out. After midnight. We all let it all hang out. All right, to ready for the top five, Brock. Number
More
five. Speaking of singing, I thought I would sing number five rather than play any version of it. But you could sing along if you want.
Okay.
Do your ears hang low? Do they wobble to and fro? Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie them in a bow? Can you throw them over your shoulder like a continental soldier? Do your ears hang low? What do you think?
It's pretty good.
Brock didn't sing along.
I'm just doing the percussion.
Did the percussion. That's enough. I didn't feel like hung out to dry or anything. He didn't hang me out to dry. Number four. That's Megadeth, Brock.
Shoot. Anytime we get Megadeth in the top five.
Hangar 18.
Success.
That's such a Megadeth song. Weird, stupid lyrics. about, like, you know, aliens and God knows what. Dave Mustaine screeching
for part of it.
But then just, like, ridiculous back and forth, twin guitar solos, quick changes. It's a pretty great song. I like Hangar 18. I love that album. All right, well, this will probably be the first time in, well, probably ever, that these two bands are back-to-back, but... Hey, that's sometimes how it goes when you're doing rank, because it kind of takes us all over the universe, Brock. Number four was Megadeth. Number three is, I'm just looking for it. Where did it go?
Oh,
hold
wait,
on.
Wait.
Wait. Here you go, number three.
Backstreet Boys?
Earlier.
NSYNC?
Earlier than that.
Really?
Earlier than Backstreet Boys. Really? Go back. Go back a decade.
Oh.
Go back a decade.
Ah, can't.
Come on.
Come on, man. This is like the original boy band of our lifetime.
Right.
That's Hangin' Tough. They also did The Right Stuff. Oh.
I mean, it's not NSYNC, right?
Oh.
They were after Backstreet Boys.
Disappointing.
The Right Stuff. Hangin' Tough, The Right Stuff.
Who is it?
New Kids on the Block.
Five Kids from Boston. Yes. Come on, right, man. That's New Kids on the Block. That's a tough one for you. That's a tough miss for you.
Yeah,
number two, going back to, I think, the 70s. You don't really need me, but you keep me hanging on. Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Mm.
Keep me hanging on.
Mm.
Any guesses on number
Deserving.
One? That's a deserving number two, right?
Is there any Tom Petty number one?
No.
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 No Foreigner. No Tom
no
Petty.
No Foreigner
today.
Number one.
No
either.
Automatic number ones.
Nope. Couldn't do it. I don't know. Maybe this one's controversial, but it's a great old song from the 60s. The whistling in the original recording of Hang On Sloopy by the McCoys. That's surprising. They probably should have done that.
You know who was a great whistler? Grandpa Mike.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, Coach York could
he
whistle.
Could the do the, like, the two-finger whistle.
He could do that one, but he would whistle to every song. So
I
that's
could whistle the songs, but I can't do the two-finger whistle.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll learn that after I wash my washing machine or something.
Yep.
Clean your countertops?
Yep. Stupid. Waste of time.
Come on, Mariners.
Come on, a little day baseball today. Stick around for a little bit of Bump and Stacy, and then, of course, pregame show, etc. We'll see you guys tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. And we'll talk to the president. We'll talk to Jerry DePoto tomorrow. We'll have Pete and John sound to react to as well. Until then, the hay.
Here's in the mark.
See everybody.
Here's in the chopper.